Welcome to PBIS Journey to Genius. Are you in the process of implementing PBIS? Are you wondering where to start? You are in the right place. We are here to support you. Stay tuned. This episode is entitled Reflect, Reorganize, and Return. So just a little recap, I'm here with my good friend, Diane Ruff, and I'm Diane Farrell, and we've worked together for many years in the education system, and we have put a lot of effort into our PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention and Support System, and our school has gotten a lot of awards over the years, but now we're sharing that journey in a podcast. So we're doing weekly podcasts entitled PBIS, Our Journey to Genius. Diane, what's this week all about?
So this week, we're going to continue to talk about our Tier 1. And one of our components of our Tier 1 is something that we came up with, and actually I came up with a long time ago when I actually interviewed for the assistant job.
I know when you were telling me about this, I didn't even know that. Look at that.
So I was sitting in with a large group of people and the superintendent interviewing for the assistant job. And I said, what I'd really like to have is a reflection room. A place where when children need to be removed out of the classroom, that they can come down and reflect and just gather themselves back up. Maybe if they're having a meltdown, it gives them a place to just get calm again, go over the expectations, and then get back to the classroom. And then that way, as the assistant principal and the principal, we can also work with those children. But, you know, we don't have several children standing around in the office waiting to be seen. We've got a reflection room. Well, the superintendent really liked that idea.
That's awesome.
So when I got hired, that was one of the things we started, was a reflection room. So we want to talk to you today about our reflection room. It is part of our Tier 1, and we have with us our educational aide, Miss Nicole Sal. So welcome, Nicole.
And I will tell you that it takes a special person to do this. So, you know, it is a person that is there, the first line of defense. So Nicole has been a great person to work with over the last couple years, and she does a great job in this job. And so we're really going to delve into that and her and what she's been doing. So, Nicole, tell us a little bit about yourself. Why did you want to become in education?
Well, believe it or not, I did not want to be in education. I actually just kind of needed a job. My youngest was starting school again, and I needed some hours that went around his school. So I just signed up for the sub list. I got called right away, got put in a classroom with a one-on-one challenging student, and it all just kind of began there.
So your first job was in an educational aide in a second grade classroom, just one-on-one with one particular student. That's how you started. How long did you do that? I can't remember.
I did that for the entire year. It started out as just kind of a filling in to try to help this student, and it was working, and he was becoming more and more successful. I had a great second grade teacher that was kind of helping me along, and it kind of just... I got hooked.
You did. You got hooked. You were a natural, you know, and I think you kind of found your niche.
Yes.
To working with kids. And it's funny because I never thought I wanted to be a teacher. I talked about that in an earlier podcast. That was never on my radar. Broadcasting was on my radar.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how sometimes we fall into these things and we find out that this is where I'm supposed to be. So, and I believe that's true for you. This is where you were meant to be. So,
how many years ago was that? You know, because you were that for 1 year. How long have you been in the reflection room?
I want to say maybe 8 years now.
8 years.
That's amazing.
In the reflection
room.
That's
amazing. So, to stay in it for someone who that wasn't their lifelong goal to be in education, then she had to have some pretty unique experiences, pretty great experiences. So, that moves us on to the next, because all of our guests, we say, why did you get into education? And then what made you stay? So what's been your aha's? Okay, I'm going to go to work again tomorrow.
I'm going to keep coming back.
I think it really happened that first year in second grade. This student had some challenging behaviors and a lot of obstacles to overcome. And I started seeing him succeed behavior wise and academic wise. And I thought, man, I could probably do this. Yeah. I could probably do this for a little while now.
And you liked seeing the growth, the change.
Yes, yeah. The success. And, you know, you create these relationships with these kids and you just want to see them succeed. Like, you are their person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. I love it. So, you know, talk a little bit about, let's see, your room and, you know, just the whole reflection room. Like, kind of what is that?
The reflection room is an interesting space. It's not like you would think some empty study hall room. I have a lot of, I guess, activities around, a lot of...
fidget kinds of things or calming.
Yeah,
things.
A lot of calming tools. Oh, gosh. I have reflection forms. I have...
They have a beanbag chair.
You have alternate seating in there.
Alternate.
Mood lighting.
Oh, yeah. The mood lighting, that really made a big difference.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit when the custodian put that in for you.
Oh, the custodian installed the lights where you can change basically moods, but they're still like white lights, but you change the dimming and you're able to dim it too. So you don't have to have the bright clinical lights. Sometimes kids just need that moment to relax and reset, and I've got the place for them.
So we do want to know that this isn't a detention room.
No, and you play music.
And it's like that.
Yes. I've done a lot of research on what kind of music kind of heals and helps calm and reset. There's actually certain music for students on the autism spectrum and certain music that helps with the anger or anxiety. And believe it or not, I have seen it work.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're like the first responder. And when Diane talked about that as the principal, you want the office to be where students go when the behaviors are extreme, you know, that, but sometimes the office becomes where all behaviors go.
Right.
And so then that makes the office not quite to be what it should be. So Diane's idea of the reflection room was great because if you get this person that can do it, they're like the first responders, unless it's on your T chart that it is an office behavior. And we talked about that in a couple episodes. But whenever you look at this and Miss Nicole gets called to a room, and when you go there, you're the one that kind of decides what's going to happen, like the severity of the behavior. So let's imagine this. You've gotten called to a room. I'm sure it happened today. You get called to a room and you go there. And what do you do when you get to that room?
Well, a lot of times when I get there, this teacher already has the conduct referral filled out, so I don't have to make a big disruption with the class. I quietly ask the student to step out so we can have a little talk, and we just kind of go from there. I mean, every situation's different. Sometimes they just need a quick break.
Just stay in the hallway sometimes, or do you always bring them down to your room?
No, sometimes I'll stay in the hallway. I mean,
see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens, see what their demeanor is. You know, what got you off track here? What are we working on today? Sometimes just the quiet walk all the way down in the reflection room kind of gets them started to reset and think about what's going on. And
yes, and I've noticed too, a lot of times kids feel like they've been wronged for whatever reason, and then that puts them in a little bit of a fit, and the teacher will call for you, but you just actually listening to why they feel, they just want to be heard.
Right. That's one of my first things I do once I get them in the room.
Yeah.
Is I just let them lay it out, whether it's, you know, about the situation that happened or something that happened on the playground last month. I just kind of let them have their moment.
And one of the things that Nicole said that is important, she does have a piece of paper given to her by the teacher with the teacher's story. So now the teacher doesn't have to tell that story in front of the student, in front of other students. She has written that out. She has told what she believes the student has done or repeatedly done or whatever. So now Miss Nicole has that. That's really important. So now she can talk to the student in the hallway or bring them down to her room and hear their side of the story. As you say, that needs to be heard, and then go from there. What are some techniques you do once you get down there? You said you had
fill out paper sometimes, reflection forms.
Oh, well, I think times, you listen.
A lot
first
of times
of all.
After they have unloaded on you and let you know,
sure.
you know, that they were wronged or this uh-huh. injustice, and you just start kind of peeling back the layers and talk about what the behavior expectations are in that classroom or according to our building-wide matrix. Mm-hmm. And then you talk to them about, well, were you doing what the teacher says? Were you kind of being safe, responsible, and respectful? And a lot of times after we go over it step by step, they kind of come back around like, oh, yeah, that wasn't right. And then we'll go on to talk about, okay, what could you have done instead? What would be a better choice? What do we do if this happens tomorrow? You know, how are you going to handle it? And just kind of talk it out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all they need. But I also have the reflection sheets, which kind of ask the same thing. You know, what's your expectation? What did you do to not meet the expectations? What are we going to do in the future? And most important, do you need to apologize to anyone? How did this affect your yes. classmates or your teacher? And a lot of times they really do come around. It's the quiet of the room. It's just a one-on-one attention thing. And a lot of times it's not repeated.
So we have the T-chart, as Diane referred to it, or the office-managed and the staff-managed behavior, you know, the majors and minors, where we've had all that laid out. So when do you're probably looking at that, when do you decide that this is bigger than you and it needs to come to the office or, you know, like...
Usually it doesn't take long to decide. You kind of know right away, do you need principal backup yeah. or is this just a run-of-the-mill regular behavior that you can handle on your own? So usually by the time I leave the classroom, I know whether the principal needs to be involved or not.
And then you involve the principal.
I go ahead and radio them and...
Yep.
And I will say, working with Nicole, she's very calm. So it takes a lot for anybody to ruffle her feathers. So if the principal knows that Miss Nicole is calling her, then it is pretty severe because she has a lot of experience at de-escalating these kiddos and getting their behavior under control and the reflection and everything and the time and the teaching, because that's what she's doing.
And that's what I appreciate, you know, about PBIS, is having the majors and minors defined, staff managed, office managed. And when the staff feels like, okay, I've managed this enough, you know, I now need a little bit of support, they reach out to Nicole, who then you decide again, is this more of a staff managed behavior of just de-escalating, getting them back to class? We record it, we put it in the Swiss, or is this go to the principal. This is the next level. And I do like the fact that Nicole really knows how to judge that, and mm-hmm. you don't let your emotions get in the way of, you know, of those guidelines. You're a very calm person.
So if you're out there thinking about doing this yourself and putting a reflection room into place, that's the kind of personality you need in that position. One yes. that is a very calm, doesn't let the child, you know, get them excited themselves, and is able to work as a team. Nicole is also called into team meetings whenever we do have PBIS meetings about a student. She will come and share information and what she has done with that student. And that's all really important. So this position has been wonderful in our building and our PBIS, but it does really need that special person in it. And Nicole's done a really good job of doing that.
So while it's a timeout place, it's more than just like a punishment. It's not a punishment, I should say. It's more of a timeout and then a reteach. So how do you juggle, you'll have a kindergartner and then a fifth grade and everybody in between. How do you handle each grade level?
Because you don't do the same with the fifth grader as a kindergartner.
I don't do the same, but in a way I do.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to, you know, stating the expectations. With the fifth graders, you can pretty much let them write it out and with little help. With the kindergartners, I kind of go to, let's draw what you were supposed to be doing, you know, and also language, you know, you got to change your language for the kindergartners versus the fifth graders. And
yeah.
And,
well, I know that, you started a little bit, if you know anything about Diane and I retired last year, so I am not in the school system, but still very interested in what's going on there. And Diane has started to expand Nicole's role, which I think is just great, and using it not only as an as-needed basis, but for those tier two and tier three kiddos that need that teaching tool for whatever behavior they are struggling with. Nicole is starting to become a teaching tool. So just like we use, you know, Title I services to help reinforce reading, this is a place to reinforce behavior. So I think you've done a little bit of that in, so far this year, but working on it more. What can you say about where they've had a scheduled time to come to you and work on a specific behavior? How has that gone?
So far, I think it's an amazing idea. And I have had several students who have actually done well with just a 10, 15 minute behavior booster type of thing during a certain part of the day, and they get that one-on-one attention.
I love that behavior booster. I'm going to have to use that. You know, I'm all about rhyming words when I'm doing this, so I'm going to use that. Can I use that?
Yeah.
So behavior booster, that's what you're doing.
And I
love that.
And I make the activities fun, so they really don't know it's an intervention. They think they're just getting some extra time out of the classroom, and we'll practice their behavior goals. Or if we have a tier two issue and it's repeated behaviors, we'll work on that. Like, I had one student who just could not stop talking out, just could not. All you had to do is raise your hand and then you can talk. And she just could not. And after a couple practices, we played a bunch of games and she had to raise her hand before answering. And at first it was hard. And then all of a sudden I don't get that student anymore for the talking out and that type of thing.
That is so amazing. And you know, we all use behavior plans for self-monitoring, but this is teaching the behavior.
Yes, teaching the correct behavior and using a game. You know, kids, I don't think they play board games as much as when I was growing up,
which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
They don't.
But you know, board games teach you to wait your turn, teach you to wait and listen and not blurt out. So just the fact that you were using a game and she had to raise her hand each time, you were reteaching that behavior.
Right. That's the same with the following directions. And I'll bring a deck of cards and give them directions and play like little mini games.
So if you're out there thinking about this whole reteaching idea of behavior, which is big into PBIS right now, but you're saying, well, we just don't have time to do that. And the guidance counselor doesn't have time to do that. And the principals don't have time to do that. And the teacher does not have time to do that. The reflection room might be your place to put that in place. It's like its little behavior title room. Mm-hmm. So another idea to use this. Now, the other thing, so we're going away from behavior and we're going to go to our sensory kits. Okay, so we are lucky to have a star room in here, which if you know what a star room is,
it's a sensory room,
but it is built into students' IEP goals and they have set times. So it's not on an as-needed basis, but those kiddos sometimes need it. Just on an as-needed basis, but they can't go in the star room. So Nicole also, she works with those kind of kids. So if you have a sensory kid that just needs a minute, what do you do?
That needs a minute and no star room?
No star room.
No star room? Oh, well. I have so many things. It just depends on the student, like what they're... Usually I find what their interest is, or back to that music I play with the certain tones and megahertz, I think it's called. I have little labyrinths that you use your finger with, and sometimes some kids really like that. Back to the lights.
Yes.
Oh,
I remember you using like a Lego building thing with a kiddo the other day, whenever I was here, and he loved to, wasn't physical legging, like it was on a video thing.
Oh, yes. Those sensory videos that sometimes they just like to watch that or the little aquarium.
And then it all broke down, like it was like dominoes.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was amazing to me. And he loved watching that and that settled him down.
Yeah. They don't even know that they're calming themselves down. Yeah. And before you know it, you just kind of see like their face kind of relax again and their brow is unfurrowed and they're, you know, starting to come back to the happy side of school. And
so there's another use for the reflection room.
There is. Yes. So I don't know. I know that I'm trying to think what else we want to cover
here. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Swiss. So you bring that up, Diane, because you and Nicole work together with who's going to input what Swiss data and how it's going to be used at the PBIS meeting, staff meetings. Maybe talk a little
bit
about that.
So in our building, teachers do not enter into Swiss. We have them give the write-ups to Nicole, and the principals can do it. But really, Nicole handles all of that for us, and she will enter in whether it is staff managed or office managed. And then you also really like, you enjoy data.
Oh, this is my favorite part of.
So do you want to talk a little bit about just the data that Swiss gives us?
Oh, the Swiss data is amazing. It's one of my favorite things. If I deal with the students, usually I'm the one that enters it, whether it's a major or minor, but it tells you like what happened, when it happened, where it happened, and it kind of gives you like a little timeline. You can kind of see, oh, look, at 1 o'clock, this student is really acting up. What's going on at 1 o'clock? Sometimes it's math. And you can just kind of go off of the Swiss data and help these kids, predict these kids, and figure out how to.
I will say, as a school counselor before, Nicole would always give us the printouts.
Right.
So that was super nice because that was, so if she would see a student during the day, Diane might not know it because it didn't come to her. I wouldn't know it as the school counselor, but Nicole would print off the printouts, mm-hmm. put them in our mailboxes, and then now there's communication. Like we knew. So now we wouldn't do anything with that if Nicole had settled it. But now if you start seeing that same student coming to her over and over again, then you might need
that
to talk to
students on everyone's
Nicole.
Radar.
Yeah,
right?
Then you need to talk to Nicole, say, hey, is this something the guidance counselor needs to get involved in, that, you know, the principal need? Do we need to have a meeting on them? You know, so it's that communication piece that was so wonderful.
Well, and getting back to what you were saying, like if it's math time, you know, that tells us so much because then we can talk to the teacher about maybe what can we do a little bit different? Can we do some front loading? Because we know that it's going to set the child off. So we need to pay attention to the data all the time. And I appreciate the fact that you're watching that because you bring it to our attention when you start to really see something skyrocket, whether it be, you know, they're coming down here all the time or they're spiking
the time
at 1 o'clock.
Right. And that's the great thing about Swiss is it's the individual student. It can show me what you've been doing since kindergarten and, you know, where your problem places are. Yeah. Some kids, it's just the playground because it's super fun out there and they just want to be rough and tough. And I mean, it's an amazing system.
You're the one that prints out those reports for Diane for staff meetings and for monthly PBIS meetings too.
Yes. And I love watching the numbers go down in behaviors. Because we've been seeing that recently.
We have.
A big drop in the numbers compared to like the previous years. That's another thing about Swiss is you can compare it to your previous years. You can pretty much
That is so important. So to have someone that's like a data nerd, like Nicole, and then one that will help take the responsibility off the principals to enter. You know, because that can be
and
tedious
watch the
in
data.
Itself. And watch the data and give it to them. Well, I guess the last thing we were talking about today is if you saw a school that wanted to start that, they listen to our podcast and they go, I want to do this. What would be the first thing you would say to them?
Like a tip or?
Oh, the first thing, you have to have your systems in place. I was fortunate enough that we had all the systems in place. I just kind of had to plug and go. Just follow the PBIS, follow the school matrix. And secondly, which is probably just as important as the systems, is finding the right person. Mm-hmm. Because it's not an easy job and you have to really...
It can wear on you.
Yeah.
You know? So you're right. Yes, finding the right person and then, you know, the school having that tier one system in place with the majors and minors defined.
Yeah, Diane, absolutely. Those majors and minors have to be defined because I remember even when we started the reflection room and then we started they were like, well, are we never allowed to call the reflection? When do we call the reflection room? When are we allowed to
That's
call the
true. Reflection? We started the reflection room before we had our procedures in place.
Yes. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
And then when they were like, we're never going to be allowed to call the reflection room. And we were like, no, but here are the behaviors that make that call necessary, and here are they not. So having that in place is
And big. The fact that, you know, Nicole said the procedures were already in place. So our teachers have been practicing with the children all the time, the expectations, how you behave in the cafeteria, walking down the hallway, all of those things. So by the time you got into that role, we had worked out all those bugs. And so then it made it much easier. But if you're starting a reflection room, you really want to have your children trained first.
Absolutely. And all those procedures set already, and your office manage, all that. Those would be the big things you want to get started. But I will tell you, a reflection room is amazing. Amazing. Yes. If it's done correctly. And me, as the guidance counselor, it was amazing for me. And I know Diana as principal, it was amazing for her. Well, I all think right. That's all we
Nicole,
have today
thank you
for this week's episode.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. We've been so blessed yes. to have you today. And this is our Reflect, Reorganize, and Return episode. I'm Diane Farrell.
And I'm Diane Ruff. Thank you so much for listening today. Please email us with any questions at pbisjourneytogenius@gmail.com. And also, we are on Facebook and Instagram. So just look for PBIS Journey to Genius, and you will find us there. We'd love to see your comments.
Thank you for listening.